would be remiss if, as pastor this week, I did not address the stories, very sad stories that have come out in the news, not just in this past week, but also in the past weeks regarding Cardinal McCarrick and also regarding the grand jury investigation that came out in Pennsylvania. I think it's very sad. I share with you that I personally am disappointed, troubled, saddened by it. I will tell you, in my 20 years as a priest, I've rarely questioned going out in public with a collar on, going over to Publix or to First Watch. But this week it kind of came through my mind. But I realized that the church that I gave my life to 20 years ago is not representative of these actions. And certainly that I realize that the church that I believe in and that I gave my life to is one that is founded on Jesus Christ. And when the truth and the light of Jesus Christ are present, they are able to be able to overcome evil that lurks. It's a dark period. I think we have to look not only at the actions, but also the way in which they were handled, or shall I say, mishandled. And that's going to take a lot of change in perhaps culture and shift of culture for us within the hierarchy of the church, but I believe it's time. And maybe that time has come, and I think that we have to be able to believe in the beauty of the church that we all are here for and the gift of faith that we do embrace. I also believe that in the light of our scriptures this past week, we hear about the gift of the Eucharist and about the Bread of Life discourses. And I can only think that the light that burns and shines here that indicates the presence of Christ, it burns and shines whether you and I are here or not. So the light of Christ is present in the world. Next weekend, I'll give you a little spoiler alert in the gospel readings. We'll hear about how, you know, obviously 5,000 were fed in the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. But interesting, as the Lord went on through the different verses and through his speaking, many left him, and all that was left were 12. And he looked there at the 12 and he said, "Are you going to leave me too?" And so Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life." So I think that for ourselves, and I can only give this to you as a point for prayer, something to think about, to realize that betrayal is nothing new to Jesus. Betrayal is nothing new to the church. But it's very difficult and frustrating when we have to deal with it head on. This past week, something came across my email group that someone had sent to me. It was a quote from Pope Benedict. And whatever your thoughts are on Pope Benedict, I'll tell you, he's brilliant and he had an incredible intellect and a way of saying very few words, which actually are very understandable if you'd read any of his writings, but it says a lot and can bring us a little further into an incredible depth and understanding. And when Pope Benedict was asked on a plane on his way to Portugal in 2010 to be able to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the beatification of the shepherd children there at Fatima, he was asked about the crises in the church and what his thought was about how the church can respond to crisis and difficulty and challenge. And Pope Benedict said, "The church has a deep need to relearn penance, to accept purification, to learn forgiveness on the one hand, but also the need for justice. Forgiveness does not replace justice." So these past couple of days, I've reflected upon that. It's brought me a sense of into a place where I can talk to the Lord about it in my own prayer. I invite you to do the same. Also in the back, Bishop Noonan wrote a message this week regarding these various situations. So I invite you to, if you did not receive it on our email list, maybe you already receive our parish emails. We did an email blast on Thursday and sent it out to all of our parishioners. If you did not receive it, you want a hard copy, please feel free to stop by the counter on the way out and pick up one of the hard copies. So today, more than usual, I say thank you for your prayers. I don't talk to you today for a sense of pity or on behalf of our priests for a sense of affirmation. Rather, it's a sense of sharing from the heart. This is what's on my mind about it. I feel the need to be able to share it with you as well. But I ask for your prayers. I ask for your prayers. Please be assured of ours for you, the people of God. We know that God expects better and deserves better. You, the people of God, should expect and deserve better. And so as a result, we work together to be able to do the best that we can. I appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your prayers. May we meet each day in our prayers. And now if you stand, Father will conclude.